Welcome to Exploring Bible Prophecy with our teacher, Steve Butler. As we continue through our series today on why we should explore Bible prophecy, we encourage you to download your free study guide by visiting whcbradio.org. There, click on Exploring Bible Prophecy, download the study guide, and follow along with us. Now, open your Bibles as we explore Bible prophecy.
In today's program, we're going to pick up again in point number 6. Where we left off in our last program, and this is the teaching series, Why Explore Bible Prophecy. And if you're joining us for the first time today, I want to make you aware of a worksheet that we have been working from for the last number of programs, and it's a worksheet that's available at this radio station. And if you go to their website at whcbradio.org, whcbradio.org, and look for Exploring Bible Prophecy, you'll find a copy of this current teaching series, again entitled Why Explore Bible Prophecy, and you can download that and follow along with us. We've gone through the first 5, and now we're finishing up point number 6. We have 13 points that we'll go through, and as we finish this one, we'll post the next set, 7 through 13, as we finish up this teaching series. And then, of course, as we finish this, I will take a lesson to go over how to study the Bible, because it's important that we have a methodology that we use so that we don't just read the Bible, but we slow down and we ask pertinent questions. And it's amazing what will come to your knowledge, come to your sight, come to your senses as you go through. We call them aha moments, when you discover nuggets of God's truths that have been sitting right here in the Bible, waiting to be explored, waiting to be uncovered by His children. And it's there for anyone. You don't have to have any education. You don't have to have any degree from a seminary. You simply have to possess the Holy Spirit, and the way you possess the Holy Spirit of God is to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, that He walked this earth as had been prophesied throughout the Old Testament, that He was falsely accused, that He was tried, He was crucified, He was buried, and He gloriously was resurrected on the third day. And the Bible tells us very clearly that the moment that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the God, the Creator God of the universe, gives you His Spirit. And of course, 1 Corinthians tells us that no one knows God better than His Spirit. And He gives His Spirit to you, precious one, as one of His children. And that Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, wants nothing more than to lead you into an understanding of all His Word. That's John chapter 16. And that is what we're looking at, exploring and uncovering these nuggets of truth in God's Word that gives us the great hope, the great promise, the great confident expectation, which is the Greek translation of the English hope, the great confident expectation of what God, through Jesus Christ, is going to do for His church, for Israel, for the world going forward. And that's what a good part of Bible prophecy, which is 1/3 of God's 66 books in total, 1/3 of the Bible is about. As a matter of fact, we haven't done it in quite a while, but I think it's a great visualization. If you could go into your Bible and find the book of Daniel, and there's nothing special about the book of Daniel, it just happens to be roughly in the position in the Bible to make a point. If you go to the book of Daniel and put your hand at Daniel chapter 1, and then pick up the Bible that's left to the right towards the end of the Bible in Revelation, and find the end of the book of Revelation, and then take your hands and put them together so that it's one unit from Daniel to Revelation. That is 1/3 of the Bible. That is Bible prophecy. And, of course, it's spread out from Genesis to Revelation. But if you were to kind of put it all together, that's the amount of the Bible from Daniel to Revelation that you would have to ignore if you chose not to study God's prophecy, His word to His people about everything that he has done, is doing, and will do into eternity. It's all listed in God's precious word in his 66 books, and it makes up what you're holding in your hand right there. That's a lot. But even if it was one page, I still would not want to ignore it. But given the volume of it, and that's why we're taking this time in this teaching ministry to explore Bible prophecy and get into the details. God is in the details, and if you've been with us for any amount of time since we started this ministry with this initial series of Why Explore Bible Prophecy, you see the detail that God has gone through to make sure that we see the authority of his word, which is backed up by the accuracy of his word over the centuries, over the millennia between the prophecy and the fulfillment. And therefore, we have the confidence that what is yet to happen will happen in just the same detail. So we were finishing up in point number 6 in our worksheet. Again, whcbradio.org. You can download it at Exploring Bible Prophecy, and you can follow along with us going forward here. And of course, you can look back to see where we've been, and as you have the time to look those scriptures up and see the foundation points for the previous points that we've made. And I'm excited once we go through our teaching of how to study the Bible, we're going to get into the 30 events, the 30 future events in the chronological order as I believe it unfolds. And again, I'm not dogmatic about it, but I believe the Bible is fairly clear in the layout chronologically, the sequence of future events. And I want to lay out what the Bible says is going to happen between today, as we are having this program on point number 6, looking at Zechariah chapter 9, going forward to eternity, at the end of chapter 26 of 22 of Revelation, chapter 22, that's about eternity. And there are so many things going on between now and then, and I picked 30 of them. And we're going to go through and look at those in very, very short overview, 10,000-foot view, if you will. And then we're going to take the next whatever series, number of series it takes to look into each one of those. So I hope you'll stay with us, and you can't help but get excited as you go through these prophecies that God has given us, and you uncover his nuggets of truth that will edify you, will excite you, and will comfort you and fortify you. So let's look at the book of Zechariah. And in our last program, we were in Zechariah chapter 11. And again, Zechariah was a prophet, one of the last prophets to write, Malachi being the end of the Bible, end of the Old Testament, I should say. Zechariah and Malachi wrote approximately the same time, about 400, 450 years before Christ ministered on the earth. And these are prophecies, as we've been going through in point number 6, in detail, Old Testament prophecies about what would happen to Christ at his first coming. So New Testament fulfillment anywhere from hundreds to 1,000 years plus in the future from their writing. And of course, there's nothing unusual, nothing special about that, because it's God. And God told us in Isaiah 46:10, he says, I tell you the end of all things. And what's the end? Well, it's the end of Revelation. He says, I tell you the end of all things from the beginning. Before creation, he had planned this all out, even though he knew man would fail. So let's look at another prophecy here in Zechariah chapter 11, just by way of review. That was about the 30 pieces of silver that, of course, the high priest and the Pharisees gave to Judas Iscariot to betray Christ. There on the last day before he was crucified, he was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And of course, Zechariah prophesied that in Zechariah chapter 11, verses 12 and 13, as you see on the worksheet. And it was fulfilled in Matthew 26, verses 14 to 16, where it's laid out for us. And we also went to Exodus. We went all the way back to 1,400 years before Christ, when Moses wrote the first five books, the second one being Exodus. And we went to Exodus 21, verse 32, and it was talking about recompensing people for mistaken death. And in this particular verse, Exodus 21, 32, we're talking about an ox accidentally goring a slave, killing a slave by stabbing him with his horn. And the owner of the ox was to pay the master of the slave 30 pieces of silver. So it's telling us that in that point in time, as was true 1,400 years later, to fulfill prophecy, that the Pharisees and the high priests, the religious leaders who falsely accused Christ, paid Judas the price of a slave to betray him. So that's what they saw Christ as, nothing more than the slave of a man. So, and again, that's all fulfilled prophecy. Then we go in Zechariah, back to the same book, and we want to go back, Zechariah 11, go back two chapters to Zechariah 9. Zechariah chapter 9, and here's another one of those great detailed prophecies that oftentimes we just read over it, don't think about it. If indeed we get to the book of Zechariah, which most people probably don't even know where it is, but you do, because we spend our time going back and forth through the Old and New Testament for the primary purpose of showing that God's word does not change, that what he does prophesy in the Old Testament, it does come true in the New Testament to those that have already been fulfilled, and so many prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled, but God's showing us how detailed these are. So let's look at this particular one in Zechariah chapter 9. And in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." That's another name for Israel. "Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem." Talking specifically about the city. And then it says, "Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So I think you can remember from your Sunday school classes, even when you were kids, of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey, as he crossed over the ridge of the Mount of Olives and down to the Kidron River Valley and then up into the eastern gate into the city of Jerusalem. And it gets so specific here because it's obviously talking about your king is coming to you, which had been prophesied all through the Old Testament. And remember, this is one of the last prophets to write to Israel before the birth of Christ. And it's saying your king is coming to you. He's just, he's endowed with salvation. And of course, only God can save. He's humble and mounted on a donkey. And that's the point. He's humble. These Israelites had been taught that when their Messiah came, he would come as a conquering king on a white horse. And indeed, Jesus is coming back. We know that from Revelation 19 on a white horse. But this individual that we're told would be coming 400 years before he came, he said he's not going to come as had been prophesied before. He's going to come humble, and he's going to be mounted on a donkey, not even on a donkey, but on the colt, the foal of a donkey, to get really, really specific in the detail of the prophecy. And we're not going to go there, but, you know, verse 10 jumps from the first coming of Christ to his triumphal second coming, when he does come as the conquering king, when Israel recognizes him as the king the second time. And that's yet future. That's at the end of the seven-year tribulation, called the second coming of Christ to the earth, the second advent. But verse 9 is about his first advent. And he is the king, but he's coming humble, but full of salvation, and he's going to be mounted on the foal of a donkey. So let's go to the New Testament And let's see, indeed, what the fulfillment of that looks like. So we want to go to the book of Matthew. So we're in Zechariah, so we only have to go two books to the right. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. By the way, it's the last book of the Jewish Bible called the Tanakh as well. In fact, all the books we find in our old, what we call our Old Testament, our Old Covenant, are found in the Jewish Bible, what they call the Tanakh. So everyone is found there as well. So we're in Matthew. We want to go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And we get to Matthew chapter 21. We want to look at verse 1 here. And this is the Jesus preparing to enter Jerusalem during what's called his Passion Week. This is the week in which he's betrayed and crucified. And it says in Matthew 21, starting at verse 1, when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you. And of course, that would be across the Kidron Valley in Jerusalem. And immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. Verse 3, if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. Verse 4, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. And that's what we read in Zechariah chapter 9. Verse 5, and the quote is, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Verse 6, the disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them. Verse 7, and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. So we see not only the general fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9, that he would come to Jerusalem and that he would come as their king, which they, of course, would reject, but he would come not only on a donkey, but to get even more specific, on the foal, the colt of a donkey. So again, as we have seen in every one of these many Old Testament passages, as if you've got your worksheet, as you look up through point number 6 and you see all those passages, and we just did a sampling of those. There's hundreds of prophecies about Jesus' first coming found in the Old Testament that were fulfilled in the same degree of detail as we find here. Not only a donkey, but the foal of a donkey, and that's exactly what Christ was telling them. So hopefully you also see the importance of understanding the Old Testament, because time after time, Christ quotes the Old Testament. He refers back to the Old Testament. Well, but listen, if Jesus does, we should too. If Jesus does, we should too. All right. In our next program, we're going to move on to point number 7. But as we always do in each of our programs, we want to answer a question from a listener in our audience. And we have, over the last few programs, been working through a question that came from a listener in Johnson City asking, can we know the countries that are going to come against Israel in the Gog-Magog battle? Can we know their modern names? And we have, over the last couple of programs, gone through that, and that's Ezekiel chapter 38. So for context, and just for learning where our books of the Bible are, let's go back into the Old Testament and find Ezekiel again. So you find Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, written by Jeremiah, and then you find the big book of Ezekiel. We want to go to 38, and of course you recall our pointing out that the Gog-Magog battle that is yet future is covered in over 50 verses. I think it's like 52 verses over two chapters, Ezekiel 38, 39. It's probably the most expansive battle ever described in the Bible, and it's something that is yet to take place, and it's also something that I really firmly believe we will not see as the church, because God will reveal himself to the world in a very real way, it says, in the description of this Gog-Magog battle, as he conquers these invading armies on behalf of Israel to show that they are his people and he is their God. In fact, they go back, those that survive, the few that survive the battle actually are said in the scriptures here, go back and tell the people that we just got whooped by the God of Israel, and they acknowledge him. And of course, that's that doesn't take faith. So I believe the church will be raptured before that happens, but it'll probably happen very quickly after we're raptured out. So we went through and we showed that the countries that are listed in Ezekiel 38 specifically, we're talking about Gog in verse 2, who's the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. Then we go to verse 5, we see Persia, which is modern-day Iran. We see Ethiopia, which is modern-day Sudan. We see Put, which is modern-day Libya. Then moving down into verse 6, we see Gomer, which is a part of modern-day Turkey. And then finally, we see Bet Dukarma, which is also, like Gomer, a part of modern-day Turkey. Then we also talked about the countries that you would think, based on modern political landscape and understanding what's going on and has gone on in the Middle East since Israel became a nation in 1948, you would think Egypt is listed. Egypt is not listed here, because today Egypt has a peace treaty with Israel. You might think that Jordan, who also, like Egypt, invaded Israel several times since 1948, Jordan is not listed because Jordan has a peace treaty. We've known that for a number of years, so that explains why they're not listed this time. But probably the biggest surprise that's happened in the last less than 2 years is what we find in Ezekiel 38:13, where it lists Sheba and Dedan. It's Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish. Tarshish, they believe, is a reference to the coastal countries, Tarshish being in Spain on the other end of the Mediterranean from Israel, and just talking about the general countries of southern Europe there. But specifically Sheba and Dedan, if you look in in ancient maps of the Middle East, you find that Sheba and Dedan are people groups located in Saudi Arabia. Well, Saudi Arabia has been a mortal enemy of Israel since its beginning, the beginning of Israel. But because of political events happening literally in the last 18 months to 2 years, Saudi Arabia has gone from being a vicious enemy of Israel to being an ally of Israel, to the point where you can see Saudi Arabia saying to Russia and these invading armies from Libya and Turkey and Iran and so forth, questioning Russia and saying, why are you coming down here? Are you coming to take a spoil? As it says in chapter 38 of Ezekiel, verse 13. So that's an amazing thing that has just happened. Of course, it was prophesied 2,600 years ago by God through the prophet Ezekiel, but it's coming to pass now. And then the last thing we were doing was looking at Genesis chapter 10. So let's go to Genesis chapter 10, first book in your Bible. And 10 is called the Table of Nations because it talks about the offspring of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the three sons of Noah, when they got off the ark. And of course, all of us come from one of those three sons. And we were going through these verses to show you the names that are listed of the offspring of these three men are the names we find in Ezekiel 38. To quick review, Genesis chapter 10, verse 2, it says the sons of Japheth were Gomer. Again, that's Turkey. Magog, that's up in Russia. Madai, M-A-D-A-I, that is Persia or Iran today. And then it says Javan and Tubal and Meshach. And those are listed in verse 2 and 3 of Ezekiel 38 as being under Gog of Magog. And then in verse 3, the sons of Gomer, the third son there is Tugarma. There is the name Tugarma, which is we find with Gomer in verse 6 of Ezekiel 38 as being from Turkey. These are the ones that are going to invade. And then we go down to verses 6 and 7 to the other, another son, the son of Noah called Ham, and we see Cush, that is Sudan, and then Put, which we saw also there in verse 5, is modern-day Libya. And then in verse 7, we see sons of Cush, we see Sheba and Dedan down in Saudi Arabia. So we're seeing all these names in Ezekiel 38 show up way back here in the Table of Nations with Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, they lived about 2,400 years before Christ. So about 200 or 300 years or so, and I'm just off the top of my head, 200 or 300 years before Abraham came along. So this was back when the flood took place around 1,600 years after creation. 1,600 years after creation. So that's how far back we're going in the genealogies here and seeing them show up in ancient biblical names in Ezekiel 38 and then seeing them in modern day names that mean something to us as Bible scholars to see how God's prophecy is unfolding before our very eyes in the Middle East. And of course, the Middle East and particularly Israel and Jerusalem are the center of the world according to God. And then finally, let's go down to Genesis chapter 10, verse starting at verse 22, talking about Shem, the third son. And in there, it's talking about Eber. If you look down there, you'll see Eber. And then you have Peleg, and that goes down to Abraham. So there's where the Israelites come from. Eber, you find mentioned for the first time in verse 21 under Shem. And then you see it expounded on in verse 25, where it says, the name of one of Eber's sons was Peleg. And it's through them that we find Abraham. So what we're basically saying here to kind of wrap this up is that we not only know the nations that the modern-day nations that are listed in Ezekiel 38 that come against Israel, but we can trace them all the way back and say that in the lineage of Japheth and the lineage of Ham invade Israel, which is from the lineage of Shem. So you have two brothers invading a third brother. And to see how that all works. And if you live in the Middle East, this is important to you. May not mean much to us, but to them, it's important. They know that they're Shem, Ham, or Japheth. There's so much there to understand and appreciate about God's wonderful prophecies. Remember, if we don't talk again, I'll be seeing you in the air.
If you have a question for Steve, you can submit it online to whcbradio.org. Our offer here at WHCB this month is a very special documentary, 1517, The Flame Rekindled, where you'll be taken on a journey through the land of Martin Luther, from his birth house in Eisleben to Castle Church in Wittenberg, and beyond the borders of Germany as well. You will see the effects of Luther's courageous stand. Shot on location in Germany, and in Denmark. This documentary film includes interviews with internationally known scholars and theologians. Prepare to be immersed in the story of Martin Luther and gain a new understanding of how this story affects each of us today. This special DVD, 1517, The Flame Rekindled, can be yours with an offering of $25 or more to the ministry of WHCB. To order your copy, call 423-878-6279. That's 878-6279. And order your copy today. Exploring Bible Prophecy is a production of WHCB Radio. You can learn more at whcbradio.org.